Okay, do we want to start with Exec or Mr. Young from the Line Commission? What's the proper order for this thing?
I would suggest Mr. Young.
All right, well, let's start with Mr. Young then. And Mr. McIntosh will bat second, and then we'll have some other witnesses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Chuck Young, for the record, from the Commission for the Blind. Blind Oregonians can't afford to work. If they do dare to work, oftentimes they lose more than their public assistance. They lose their health insurance. What good government does best is provide the economic opportunity for our businesses and our citizens so that they can afford to work and be contributing taxpaying members of our society. Senate Bill 99 would extend medical coverage and retirement benefits to certain blind Oregonians associated with the state so that they would have the equivalent benefits of their state-employed peers, but at no cost, no additional cost to the state. In other words, if these blind business enterprise workers could generate money to pay for their insurance and retirement benefits, they would be allowed to do so at their own expense. Currently, the agency has 32 franchise-type opportunities for self-employment and vending and snack bar management located on government property for blind entrepreneurs. This is the identical relationship that self-employed managers of our state's liquor stores have with the OLCC in the state.
Okay.
Additionally, we currently employ 50 blind workers in our industries program, and this program is being spun off into a government-sponsored nonprofit corporation, very similar to the spin-off of the Safe Corporation of a few years ago. However, the liquor store managers regulated by the state and the former workers spun off at Safe have an incentive that blind managers and workers don't have: the opportunity to participate at their own expense in the state's retirement and health programs. If this bill fails, many blind Oregonians won't be able to afford to consider these employment options. Public assistance may be a more prudent decision for these individuals. However, the passage of this bill would mean that this committee can facilitate approximately 82 economic opportunities for blind Oregonians to be employed and free of public assistance at no additional cost to the state of Oregon. I urge you to vote for this exciting economic legislation that extends economic or employment opportunities for blind people who historically have had a 75% unemployment rate. Senate Bill 99 is just plain good business and what good government is does best.
Okay. Questions of Mr. Young? Put you down as a 4 in the column. Thank you, Mr. Young. Appreciate it. Mr. McIntosh.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jim McIntosh, and I'm the manager of the State Employees Benefits Board. My purpose in being here today is simply to explain how we arrived at the fiscal impact on this bill and to see if you have any questions that I might be able to address.
All right.
The fiscal impact, where we estimated some cost for Senate Bill 99, and we suggested that the cost impact in 91-93 would be $1,578. That fiscal impact is arrived at as a result of projecting that any groups who we add to our programs on a self-pay basis drive some additional costs that are not driven by those who participate with an employer contribution. And so while the cost is small, that is the reason that we came up with those dollars. With that, I'll see if you have any questions.
Okay. Senator Hill?
How many participants did you assume with that cost?
30% of the 70 is what I think you put in your estimate?
Yes. Senator Kearns, Senator Hill, we estimated that there would be approximately 21 participants.
Okay. Further questions? The Council points out to me the language on the second half, and you're not prepared, I assume, to start delving into outside your area of expertise on deferred compensation program. Do we have someone who's going to be able to answer a question if I have one on that issue?
Mr. McIntosh did speak with the administrator of the deferred comp program, so he does have a brief report.
Okay, all right.
Mr. Chairman, it's a little secondhand, but I did call the administrator of the deferred compensation program and ask them about the language that's in the second portion of the bill, and that individual reported to me that the language is similar. In fact, I think probably quite comparable to the language that currently provides for the liquor control agents to be covered under that program, and that she felt that this language would be acceptable, that they would be able to participate in the program. The reason for the contingency kind of reference is in case the Internal Revenue Service changes the tax code and somehow these kinds of groups are no longer considered to be eligible and it would jeopardize the rest of the program, that there's a manner of means to deal with that.
Okay. Can we ask counsel to go and take a look at that OLCC language on the same subject? Because while it does have an escape valve, we always have to be careful about making some de minimis contribution from people who are, maybe outside the group or outside the tax code, jeopardizing the larger. So let's take a look at that. Other questions? Sure. Thank you very much. We have is it Paula Winnell, is that correct? Okay, why don't you come on up. Did I pronounce that?
No, they're on 135.
Uh-oh.
As a foster parent.
Uh-oh.
That's okay.
That's okay, we'll get you on the right one. And Tony Peterson?
He's also the one.
Okay. Well, good. Is there anyone else here who wishes to testify on 99? All right, we'll close the hearing on that and carry it over for the moment and cogitate on it while we take up Senate Bill 135. Then we'll start with McIntosh. Correct? Nope. Who goes?
He and Tony could come up together.
Okay, that's good. Right. Good. Much do that.
Chairman Karens, committee members, I'm Tony Peterson from Children's Services Division, and I'm here today to offer testimony in support of amending ORS 243-140 to allow foster parents to participate in the dental benefit plan available to state employees. And Mr. McIntosh is joining me today in that testimony. Last session, the legislature passed House Bill 3048A, which allowed foster parents certified by Children's Services Division to participate in the health benefit plans available to state employees at the foster parents' expense. Currently, 136 foster parents are purchasing the health benefit coverage because this legislation was enacted. Foster parents are true partners in providing care and nurturance for children in our custody, and they work long hours caring for some of the most difficult children in Oregon with minimum reimbursement and little recognition for their efforts. This bill expanding dental coverage to foster parents would provide an additional incentive to foster parents who want to purchase both health and dental benefits available to state employees. The State Employees Benefit Board suggested language changes to this bill to limit eligibility to purchase dental benefit plans to foster parents who are enrolled also in the health benefit plan. SEB has informed us that this proposed change will dramatically limit any financial impact on SEB, which could result in an increase in dental insurance rates. Without this amendment, SEB estimates a fiscal impact of $78,000 or more for the 91-93 biennium. And we propose amending Section 1, lines 6 through 8, as follows.
Just a second.
You've got it attached to the testimony. Boom. Oh, okay.
Under ORS 418.630 and as defined in ORS 418.625-2, may participate in a health benefit plan, and if enrolled in such a plan, may also participate in a dental benefit plan available to state employees pursuant to ORS 243.105 to 243.205 at the expense of the foster parent. This change will prohibit dental-only coverage, which has proved more costly to SEB to insure. As a result of the expectations we have of foster parents, including the time and the effort they put into the children placed with them, we believe it's important that as many benefits as possible be made available to them. With this proposed language change recommended above, the benefit can be made available to foster parents at little or no cost to the state. And it's our opinion that if Senate Bill 135 is passed, it will provide an additional benefit to foster parents that they can take advantage of if they wish, that will help CSD retain quality foster homes. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Question. Senator Hill.
Is it correct that this coverage would extend to the foster parents, their natural children?
Senator Karen, Senator Hill, yes. It allows a foster parent to purchase a family health program, a family dental program, or a depending on what their needs are. It will cover the foster parent and their family also.
Okay, and it would naturally cover adopted children as well. Our programs do cover adopted children. Just want to make sure, because I've learned recently that some health care programs exclude adopted children. Would it cover the foster child?
Senator Karen, Senator Hill, no. The foster child has their own health coverage through Title 19. And Children's Services Division covers that. This would just be for the foster parents and their children.
Okay, I'm going to flag that for discussion after the rest of the testimony, because we've got a problem with Title 19.
Other questions? Mr. McIntosh.
Hi, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jim McIntosh, manager of the State Employees Benefits Board. My purpose in being here is to speak in support of the amendment that was proposed by Children's Services Division. If the dental program is tied to participation in the medical, that really is similar to what most state employees situation at the current time. The SEB programs require people to participate in what we call a core, and dental is required, so that it does place them in a somewhat similar situation. There is a dramatic decrease in the amount of fiscal impact from approximately $78,000 to about $386. And that, again, is a result of the lessening of exposure that the plan would have from the larger group. The impact on dental plans of personal financial choices and adverse impact on premiums is even greater than on medical plans. So we feel that the amendment is appropriate and would work.
Okay. Further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Kintosh.
What funds does this come out of? The general fund or what?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kintosh, the way that this money is gathered, if you will, is that if the self-pay group ends up with the claims which are greater than the income which is generated by their premiums, the premiums of the rest of the group are then increased to cover those dollars. So the money actually, the $386 that we would end up with having to cover, if you will, would somehow be covered by the other premium dollars that are charged the rest of us. It would not come from the general fund.
Okay. Further questions? Senator Hill? Obviously contemplated.
Wait a minute. Yeah, by the other premium dollars.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Hill.
The point I raised earlier is Title 19 coverage for dental care for the foster children is reimbursed rather low. And it's reimbursed so low that very few dentists, I think, I may be wrong, but it's my impression that there's three dentists in Lane County, for instance, who currently take none. Are we down to none?
We have a person in Albany taking.
Okay, so we're carting the foster kids to Albany when they can get an appointment. And I know there's long delays, even for serious dental problems for these foster kids, but we're offering good coverage on an optional basis, self-pay basis, of course, to the other children in the household through these plans. I don't know what the solution is, but to provide this kind of dual nature coverage bothers me. Whereas the natural and adopted children of the family get dental care like that when they need it, preventative care, good care. And under Medicaid, the foster children in the same household have to wait 6 months to take care of an infected or tooth that obviously has cavities and other problems. If they have an abscess, they get in sooner. And they don't get preventative care. So we've got a real problem with that. If we want kids to think they're second-class citizens in the household, this will do it. Now, it's true that there's a great need to encourage foster families, to help foster families bear the cost of living, but we have to figure something out here to provide some equity.
Did CSD wish to respond to the Senator's...
Senator Hill, I concur with your remarks.
How about if we provide supplemental coverage to the extent of bringing the foster kids in with the rest of the family in this coverage? And we buy up Medicaid.
Oh, boy.
That's a very interesting approach. I do believe that Seb would have quite a bit to say about that, going in that direction. It's something to look at.
Well, we're going to hear from a foster parent next and hear what it's like out there in the real world among those who are contributing to our society by volunteering as foster parents and see how that works. And if you're going to be with us for a minute, we might generate some more questions for you.
Thank
you. Did you have a question, Senator Shoemaker?
No.
Okay. Now then, Paula Winnell. Up on the right bill at the right time. We're going to be joined by someone?
Mr. Chairman is with the foster.
Great, come on up.
Mr. Chairman,
I want to turn that microphone towards yourself, so it's, I don't know how, but that's particularly omnidirectional, so we'll point it at you.
Mr. Chairman and committee, I'm Paula Winnell. I serve on the Foster Parent Board along with Jim Dyer. My husband and I, who is in the audience, we have served as foster parents since 1983, both in the state of Washington and Oregon State. We have been very grateful that the last legislative session allowed foster parents serving in the state of Oregon to receive the same health benefits that state employees receive. We understand that the health benefits for state employees includes dental provision. We are responsible for our own payment and serve the state in the professional manner of caring for children. We request the same complete health package, including the dental plan. We have found this measure promotes a very positive affirmation that our state cares and supports the many families that care for the young and give them the advantage of growing into a strong and productive society. Many foster parents do not have advantage of group policies. We are one of those families. My husband is self-employed. We feel as though medical and dental care allows us freedom from the burden of financial disaster as a family and is crucial to the well-being of our family's ability to extend ourselves, to go outside our natural boundaries to care for others. Our monthly payment for health care is $257.30. None of the dollar amount is subsidized by the state, yet the privilege of being included in a group state plan cannot be underestimated as a benefit for foster parents. Thank you for your creative and helpful ways of encouraging foster parents in our state. We know it is your desire, along with ours, to build and see strong families raising our young future generation. Thank you.
Mr. Dyer, did you have anything to add?
Just a couple of things, if I might, Senator Kearns.
Identify yourself for the record.
I am Jim Dyer. I'm vice president of the Marion Foster Parent Association, and also my wife and I have been foster parents for 7 years. Our particular age group that we care for is 0 to 9. I testified for the bill 2 years ago for health insurance for foster parents because I thought it was a great need, particularly in the healthcare area where foster parents not only are exposed to the normal problems that we get from our kids coming home from school, but when we take children into our home, there is additional concerns about a variety of problems that we can incur health-wise. I was listening back there and listened to Senator Hill's concerns about the low pay right now to dentists for the foster children themselves. I am concerned greatly about that, as well as about the difficulty that we have getting our foster children into medical care. Medical doctors also find this too low. But my strong feeling is that rather than say to foster parents, well, you know, you already don't have dental insurance, and we probably can't give you that if the children that you serve aren't also getting it, would be for the legislature to look at possibly a better rate of pay for dentists and health insurance coverage. I realize that that opens a great, great big monetary ball of wax in a year when money is a serious problem. But what I would like to testify to is that many, many times with the children that we serve, there are times when you think that you just about can't take it anymore. The kids are difficult. They do things that you've all heard about, and I'm not going to tell you war stories. A good home says, okay, this is it. I just don't think I can handle it anymore. If you have health insurance, if you have dental insurance, the foster parent may reconsider quitting caring for children for a little while. I have friends that are state employees that keep working because they have medical and dental insurance as state employees, and they'll keep working sometimes through a hard time just because they don't want to lose that benefit. I think sometimes that foster parents would continue working through the hard times to the wonderful times, and believe you, I'm foster parent because I have some wonderful times when things go right with these kids. I think that we need whatever we can do to keep the best quality home we can get. And whatever miracle you, Senator Cairns, or Senator Hill can work to get our foster kids better payment to dentists and doctors, boy, I would support you in any effort you have in that arena too. But don't make us foster parents pay because the state can't afford to pay the bill for the children.
Okay. You're both familiar with the amendment proposed by CSD?
Yes.
And are in agreement with it?
Yes. I would only add that 2 years ago when I testified for the health insurance bill, I probably slept through it or something because I was imagining that health and dental insurance were like this. And when the bill was passed and I was thanking all the parties that were so helpful in that, later on, and I came out that, whoops, dental insurance is a different coverage. So what I see this is almost, in a way, maybe it's somewhat bigger than housekeeping, but it's almost housekeeping to bring us up to what we thought we were getting 2 years ago.
Well, that's why the legislature meets every 2 years. All right. Let me ask you, Ms. Winnell, as a practical matter, you don't have a dental policy now, and you're self-paid for any dental care you and your family get. Is that correct?
That's correct, and we are on a fairly limited income to where my children have. I've not been able to financially afford the dental care that we've needed, so it also works the opposite way, too.
Now, you have foster children who have an entitlement to dental care if they can access it.
The way it's arranged is for it's emergency dental care.
Right. Which is
not adequate.
That's usually a busted tooth in the case of a child.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you were to have dental care for yourself and your family, and the plan caught all your children up and your husband up to speed, and you were in a maintenance mode on a dental plan, which would be a nice place to be, what do you think would happen if you had a need for dental care for one of your foster children? If you now have dental care paid for by the plan, and your premium is going to go up virtually nothing, I understand, under this amendment. Would you continue to seek dental care on an emergency basis and not provide out of your own pocket for that, or would you see there might be some incentive to have all your children on equal footing as far as their dental care is concerned?
Well, to answer the first part of your question, I think as dental care is met within the primary nucleus of the family and everyone's feeling better, I think that you're able to also care for others better. But as far as the dental, emergency dental care for my foster children, like many other things in our household, I have to dip into our personal income to accommodate that. And that's something that most people that do not have foster children are aware of. They feel that we get enough through the state, and we don't. We have to pay for any additional care or music lessons or sports programs. I mean, that still becomes our expense.
Yeah. I understand that. I'm just saying whether a foster family that was self-paid under their own dental, taking care of their own dental costs for their family, and found themselves no longer having to pay that, and then thus having the wherewithal or some small addition to the total economy of that family, might make it more possible for that family to see to the regular care of a dental care of a foster child where they might never have done so in the past?
Right. It would ease up the situation, and I think it would. That's an open possibility, and I think there will be families that will do that. Yeah. They will continue to do that. They do it even now without circumstances.
Right. Okay. Senator Hill?
Okay. I have a question, Mr. McIntosh.
Okay. Thank you both very much. I appreciate you taking the time to come and visit with us about this bill. Senator Hill, you had a question of Mr. McIntosh?
Yeah. Put on our creative thinking caps here. Jim, do you have any idea what it might cost to purchase supplemental coverage, were it possible under federal regulation, to bring coverage for foster kids up to a level equal to that of SEB coverage?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hill, I don't. I'm not familiar, first of all, with a plan that does exactly that, and I'd almost have to go to the market or to carriers and get a pricing on that, and I really have, in terms of total cost, I have no idea how many folks we're talking about and so forth.
Let me ramble a little bit. Here's my thinking. A lot of foster kids are in for a short time, but many are in for long periods. The state has to cover the medical care while they're in custody of the state, custody of CSD and in foster care. Preventative care is almost non-existent for these kids. It's not funded adequately, so no dentist provides preventative care. Instead, it's crisis care. That's not very sensible management of care for these kids, either medical or dental, but let's stick to dental. I'd like to figure out if federal rules, and Linda's over here so she can listen and help us figure. In fact, Linda, Mr. Chairman, can I ask Linda to come up?
Sure.
Might cut a few corners here.
We don't cut corners. We just expedite.
I'm Linda Sundy. I'm the foster care manager for Children's Services Division.
Linda knows all about this stuff. I've had the pleasure of working with her before. So the question is really to both of you. Will Medicaid allow supplemental insurance to be purchased to build up the reimbursement rate, or do we have to appropriate money to the Medicaid match in order to buy up that reimbursement rate? Do we have a choice of options here?
It's going to take some research. I understand in Oregon that our interpretation has been that you can't pay above Medicare. I also understand that some other states may be finding a way to do that supplemental insurance. So it would mean we would have to contact some other states and find out how they're doing it. So I can't give you a yes or no answer right now.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to request that you two work on that a little bit and try to provide us information as to whether we can supplement the current program and provide medical care any child of the same age in the same family.
Senator Hill, did you say just dental, or are we going to go the whole nine yards?
I guess we can do both. If we start with dental and get an idea, it may be a moot point if it really is out the window. Let's start with dental because that's the issue immediately before us.
Or 6 o'clock, and then we'll be glowering at the one who said...